If you don't mind, I'm going to sit while I talk to you tonight. I want to announce first that Beth has invited all of you to a chanting session at hers and Steve's home on Saturday evening this week at 7:30. So all of you who would like to come are cordially welcome. And if you want the address, either Beth or Steve or Bonnie can give it to you. Many times I have things around that I don't remember that I have. People are constantly giving things in which shows to me, which shows God's abundance. And this was brought to me from Canada just recently, and I thought what a wonderful book it was, and then I found out it was my own, which I'd left up there. It's entitled Indian Mystic Verse. And these are poems that are written from the, or by the Hindu and Persian saints. And I'm not going to read all of this one by Kabir because it's quite long, but I would like to share some of it with you. He was a mystic poet and saint who was born in 1398. He lived as a weaver, a simple family life. He was the first to make serious efforts to unite the Muslims and Hindus. His poetry is probably unsurpassed. Kabir is known very well all over India, and many have put his words to music and have chanted, just as we have heard Beth so beautifully chant this evening. I'm going to begin here. What shall I read? To what shall I listen? Shall I listen to the readings of the Vedas and the holy traditions? That which is innate will be obtained by natural means. O simple man, why dost thou now not repeat the holy name of God? It is useless deliberating again and again. A blind man needs light, and that light is the holy name. In that light the invisible becomes visible. O light the inner lamp, says Kabir. Now I have known the truth, and knowing it, my mind is fully satisfied. If others do not believe me, what care I for them? O Kabir, I am looking for a true listener, who, like the deer, hearing the horn of the hunter, surrenders himself completely to him. The Guru loves all, but he who loves the Guru and serves him day and night, he will taste the water of conscious immortality. Do not desire an abode in heaven, nor fear to be in hell. Whatever is to happen will do so. Do not harbor any hope. Pardon me. Sing the attributes of the all-pervasive one, so that thou mayest arrive at that exalted state. Fasting, self-control, and chastity, austerity, and the repetition of mantras will bring thee to God. Do not rejoice in success or repine in adversity. They visit thee by his will. After searching the heart of the saint, says Kabir, I have known the truth. The heart in which the remembrance of Hari abides is the heart of a real servant of God. Seeing the gardener approaching, the buds cry out, today the blossoms have been picked. Tomorrow will be our turn. As the woodcutter advanced, the trees sighed and said, it matters nothing to us that we are to be cut down. But alas, the birds will lose their homes. As the potter was kneading the wet clay, it said, today, O friend, thou art kneading me, but tomorrow thou wilt have to make a bed in my lap. Kabir saw a mill grinding the wheat and cried, alas, no grain remains between the grinding stones, yet those that cling to the pivot are not destroyed. The lock of error shuts the gate. Open it with the key of love. By opening the door, thou shalt wake the beloved. Kabir says, O brother, do not pass by such good fortune as this. The swan has taken its flight to the lake beyond the mountains. Why should it search for the pools or the ditches anymore? The Lord dwells within thee. Why need thine outward eyes be open? Kabir says, listen, O brother, the Lord who ravishes mine eyes has united himself with me. My guru is a skilled dyer. He has dyed my sari in a lasting dye. Placing it in the bowl of feeling, he has dipped it in the water of love, fixing it with remembrance. He has rendered it enduring. Removing the stains, he has dyed it blue. No other color can mar it. How wise is my guru to dye my sari thus? My body, mind, wealth, and life I sacrifice to my guru. Says Kabir, my guru in compassion has conferred this grace. By wearing this new sari, my heart is fully satisfied. The guru is the ladder to Godhead. Time has no power over him who has sacrificed the body, mind, and all on the guru. He in whom the flame of the ego leaps high, and who wants to be worshipped by his guru, to him God, the God of death says, come and be my guest. Learn the secret of life from your guru, and keep nothing secret from him. Do not leave the sweet company of your guru. O disciple, there is none so liberal as the guru. Beg of him in humility and service, and you will obtain the dominion of the three worlds. The highest object of contemplation is the guru. The most worthy object of service is the guru. The chief object of devotion is the guru. O Kabir, the ignorant will not understand this great secret. Why do not the mountains yield their secret power? Because you have not full faith in your guru. And are you ready to cut off your head and place your foot on it? If so, come. Love awaits you. Love is not grown in a garden or sold in the marketplace. Whether king or subject, the price is his head and nothing else. The payment for the cup of love is your head. O miser, do you flinch? It is cheap at that price. Know the frame in which love does not dwell is a crematorium. That body is a bellows, breathing without life. There is no patience without love, no passionless without separation. No passionlessness without separation. The taint of the mind is removed by knowledge alone. Giving up all expectation of gain, be like one who has died, alive only to the service of the guru and the yoga. Then God will run after you, saying, O Kabir, stay, I come. The pearl is in the oyster is at the bottom of the sea. Dive deep, give up the thirst for life. O ascetics, devotional ecstasy is sweet. It increases daily, it is conferred by the guru. Wherever I go, I offer salutations to the Lord. Whatever I do is an act of worship to him. In sleep, I reverence him, bowing the knee to no other. Whatever I utter is his name. Whatever I hear reminds me of him. Whatever I eat or drink is to his honor. To me, society and solitude are one. Feelings of duality have left me. I have no need to practice austerity. I see him smiling everywhere in the form of supreme beauty. My heart is pure. Sitting, walking, or whatever I do, my mind remains fixed, says Kabir. I have experienced the divine state, that which is beyond joy and suffering. I am absorbed in that. O ascetics, devotional ecstasy is really sweet. There is no sovereign like Hari. Worldly kings pass away, but the real Lord, the sovereign of the three worlds, is eternal. O my slothful mind, wake up and serve Hari, says Kabir. He has dissolved all my doubts and made me rich forever. The magnanimous disciple first offered his mind, body, and possessions to his guru. Then the compassionate guru conferred on him the initiation and the mantra. By surrendering my mind to my guru, I had it polished, and now it is transparent. The disciple is a soiled garment. The guru is the washerman. When he washes the personality on the rock of meditation, it is rendered free of the dirt of nescience. The love and devotion I gave my guru brought me knowledge in return. Also affectionate association and delight, compassion, devotion, and faith. He who regards his guru as a man, he is blind. He will be unhappy all his life and he will find no peace after his death. O Kabir, how blind are those disciples who think that the guru is other than God. If God be angry, your guru can reconcile him. But if the guru is displeased, there is none who can make intercession. The sun drives away darkness. The heedless, treacherous intellect destroys the fruit of the guru's teachings. Avarice kills all good name. Pride is the enemy of devotion to God. It is easy to have devotion when the guru is sweet, but when he treats you with bitterness, separation, and strangeness, and you still cherish devotion, then liberation runs after you. As the fish loves water, as the greedy love wealth, so God loves devotion. Kabir has washed off the dirt of ignorance with the water of devotion. The day passed without devotion is passed in a tomb. There is a tall, tall tree. On it is the fruit of immortality. He who dies to all else can taste the fruit and be immortal. The hero fights for his master. His body is cut to pieces, still he does not retreat. Only those yogis who have loved their guru will prove true heroes. He is a true yogi, says Kabir, who unites his mind with the light within, whose faith in his guru and his devotion to him is unshakable. Produce the divine life in thine intellect, and sitting quiet therein, worship God. Thus the natural samadhi will shine in thy being. Give up pride and vanity, and in the market of the world purchase wisdom. The pleasures and achievements of the world are vain. It is mere talk. The barren woman rocks the cradle. Is there any joy therein? Holding the staff in his hand, Kabir is standing on the highway. His cry is, let him who is willing to burn up his home come and follow me. Seek the company of the good, for it is there he has his dwelling place. Let that assembly be consumed to ashes where his name is not spoken. Tell me, how art thou able to hold a wedding feast without a bridegroom? Waver no more, think only of the beloved. Set not thy heart in the worship of other gods. There is no value in the service of other masters. Kabir says, thus shalt thou find him. The river and its waves are one. What is the difference between wave and water? When it rises, it is water. It is water when it falls. Tell me, where is there any distinction? Within the supreme Brahman, the worlds are being told like beads. Look on the rosary with the eyes of wisdom. My Lord hides himself and reveals himself wonderfully. My Lord has set an imperishable barrier about me. My Lord eliminates my limitations. My Lord brings me words of sorrow and joy. I will offer my body and mind to my Lord. I will yield up my life, but forget him never. Why gaze on thy face in the mirror? The mind is empty of the beauty of compassion. The mango bird sings on the mango tree. The parrot cries in the wood. Dressed with care, thy hair fragrant with oil, thou walkest in the streets. My friend, says Kabir, thou hast made a boat of stone. It will not take thee across the ocean of being. Thou wilt never be a hero in the battle of life. Take my advice, O friend. Rely on the truth of Vedanta. Why did the eyes shed tears at the time of death? Was it over the insincerity of friends? Or the attachment to property? Why did the eyes shed tears at the time of death? They thought the body unconscious, but it was not so. It knew that its friends were tired of waiting, and relatives were thinking of the will. But it was not for this that the eyes shed tears. The soul thought, oh, now I know that all I loved and cared for was a dream. Nothing was worthy of real love except truth, which I neglected. The body which I washed in rose water and fed on sweets proved a delusion. Says Kabir, O fellow ascetics, how will you cross this river? Without a guru, none can show you the way. When the wick of pride is dry and the oil of worldly love is spent, when the drum of boasting is no longer heard and the mind is fast asleep, when the fire of avarice dies out and the smoke of desire no longer rises, then shall a man know that one God abides everywhere. Without a second. I think that is very, very beautiful. In my own case, I certainly know it is true. God is the true guru. He is to be found in the sanctuary of your heart and in the thousand-petaled lotus of the brain. I want to talk to you tonight about that jewel in the lotus. Pardon me. That jewel is such a brilliant, shining stone. It perceives the light and the brilliance of all that your human eyes might see in the way of gems. It is a jewel that is very, very difficult to attain. In order to attain it, one must walk the way of perfection. There is no other way. During this Lenten season, we come to know that what it truly signifies is to pick up your cross, which is your body, and to walk that path, which is very steep and very difficult at times, that path to the perfection of God within yourself. So many people think that they can do everything by mind power. But your mind has not the slightest bit of power in this whole wide world. God is the sole existing power in this universe and beyond. And there is no power but His. Everything that comes into our consciousness, everything which we are able to accomplish, comes from an idea, a thought, an inclination which He Himself has given us. And He keeps on giving us experiences, one after the other. Many times we blame Him because we are not happy. But each man has control over his own life completely and totally. The reason he is sorrowful, the reason he walks many times in disappointment and unfulfillment, is because he has never learned to be himself, not his real self. If he will but go within himself and stop to think over all the various moments and days and weeks and months and years of his life, he will find that he has been a slave to all that has been taught to him, which he has accepted. He has been a slave to other people's ideas, what they demand of him, what they wish him to do, what they many times taught him to do if he has not the will to do it. And you will find, if you look back, that there were very, very few times, if any, in your life when you really did what you wanted to do. Now, when I'm speaking of you, I'm speaking of that great self, which is the Christ within you, that one that knows no boundaries, no lacks, no failures, no disappointments, no unfulfillment. That one that has the courage to stand up and be and think and do and say what they know is right in God. These alone are the masters of themselves and none others. When you think of how you are constantly tempted by all of the things that are put before you in the world, and how you succumb to those temptations through advertising, through television, through radio, through the people you meet, the experiences which come to you, the temptations which are put in your path, and you remember all the times that you gave in to those temptations, you will realize that you weren't living your life at all. You thought you were, but in truth you were not, because you were totally taken over by this delusive self which tells you it is you. You, the real you, God in you, was not in possession. He was not in control. You were made to lose your temper. You were made to do things that really, in the sanctuary of your own soul, in the quietness and darkness of your own temple, you are deeply ashamed of and you have a great guilt complex about. Were you really you? Is that what you want to be? Why do we always do what we think other people want us to do? Why do we not tap that inner self, that Christ within us, and listen to His voice of direction alone? Why do we not look and read and absorb the true commandments of God? Why do we not read about His perfect law, His perfect will, and then have the courage to stand up and follow exactly that, knowing that by so doing, we are making ourselves the wealthiest, the richest people in the world? When you find that jewel in the lotus, there is no greater wealth which any man can possess. It is that jewel for which every soul is born into this world, to gain possession of. But man, because he has been mistaught, because he has been taught untruths, thinks that he is oceans away from God, worlds away from God. And when he first puts his feet on the spiritual path, having first turned his face to God, he thinks, my Lord, look at the people around me who have been on this path for years. Look at their shining faces. How beautiful, how wonderful, how filled with joy they are. Just think how far I have to go. And in that one thought alone, he retrogresses incarnations. Because the truth is that God alone is, and that all that we are, all of the worlds, the universes that we see, are but an expression of his very self. That there is none but he anywhere. Recently I talked to a student long distance who's been with me for about 15 years now. And she said, you know, I enjoy reading about Swami Ramdas so much. But you know, he was a little crazy. She said, he went into a cave and he stayed there for 20 days. And when he came out, he was running around and embracing trees and kissing them and embracing everybody. He was really crazy. And I said, no, he wasn't crazy. I said, it is the people who think he was crazy who are the ones who are in the ignorance of what really happened to this man. He had given all of his little self to God. He had roamed India for years, chanting only the name of God. He went with a simple cloth on his feet. He took nothing with him. When things were given to them, he gave them away. He didn't want to carry any money. He went with bare feet. His feet were cut and they were bleeding. He fed lepers with his bare hands. He wiped the pus from their faces. How many of us could do that today? This man who wanted God so badly wouldn't even sleep day after day after day. He took very little food and some days not any at all, for the simple reason that in so doing he felt he might distract his attention from his Lord. He was so anxious to become one with him, to become one with this eternal state of bliss and peace and light. So one day he went to the Maharshi, Ramana Maharshi, at Arunachala. Tirumanamali is the name of the city, but there is the hill of Arunachala there, and it is said to be a sacred hill. And the people of India, being a very devout people, because the hill is sacred, they either climb it or they walk around it day after day, feeling that they get spiritual grace through so doing. So Ramdas visited Ramana Maharshi. He sat before him and he asked him not for one thing. Nothing at all. He said not one word. He just sat and he absorbed everything that the saint was saying. And Ramana Maharshi was one of the very greatest in the world. And he had the most beautiful eyes. These eyes were filled with the light of God. And he had the power to change men's lives just by looking into their lives, having first searched their hearts. And so finally, as Ramdas sat there, feeling the bliss of the presence of God in the presence of this great saint, the Maharshi looked at him just long. He looked at him long. And then finally, he nodded his head just like this. Ramdas made his namaskars to him, or pranam, which means I bow to your soul. And he went into the cave of Arunachala. And he sat there for 20 days, repeating the name of God, without food, without drink, with nothing but his mind focused totally on the divine. And all of a sudden, because of his total endeavor to forget himself, to get rid of himself, and to become one with this eternal presence which he knew was his real self, God granted him that grace. Many's the time I sat before him at 3:30 in the afternoon, or at 1:30 I should say, we would all gather together in his room and stay there until 3:30, when he would read us out of books or read us poems as I have read you tonight, or talk about God. And many times he told us about this one great moment of enlightenment. And he said he was so filled with the peace and the utter joy and the ecstasy and the light of God that he was beside himself, and he rushed from the cave. And a man came past him, and he grabbed him in his arms. I'm mad for God. Then he embraced the trees, because he had become one with that eternal principle, that eternal great self, which brought every single thing there is into being. And in the midst of that being is the greatest bliss, the greatest knowledge, the greatest power, the greatest presence that man can ever dream of. And yet he wastes his energies. He wastes them today in drinking alcohol, in overusing his sex power, dissipating his life energy. He drugs his mind with everything that comes across the table to him, feeling that he's in a euphoric state, that he's peaceful, he's happy, he can wander around, and he doesn't even realize that he is destroying himself, that he can never realize this great presence, that he can never obtain this great jewel as long as he does this to himself. Is anyone else to blame? No one in this world. Because each and every one of us have the power to say either yes or no every moment of our lives. We can change our lives. If we have gone the wrong way, then by going inside and fixing the attention fully upon God, by repeating his holy name, by doing the few asanas and exercises which are given you for concentration, for controlling the breath, not by holding it, but by watching it until gradually it of itself slows down the natural way. And by the blessed and sacred initiation of Kriya, where you learn to revolve the life current around the spine and through the brain, man can advance himself, and he can reverse and change everything that was wrong in his life. If this world is ever to change, then each one of us must have the courage to be truly ourselves, our real selves. There have been great ones who have come when the world was in a bad state down through the ages. And the names and the deeds of these ones live and will live in the hearts of men as long as there is a universe in existence. Because these men came not to serve themselves. They came not to indulge in their petty human passions and desires. But they came to find union with that divine principle within themselves. And then having found it, having found this bliss, this peace, this wonder, this power, this radiant light, this splendor within themselves, they go forth and they try to spread it across the face of the earth because they know how badly it is needed. And from their great height, they reach down to their brothers who are still in distress, who still are in darkness. As I have told you before, hell and Hades mean just one thing. It is a place of the dead. Those who remain in the darkness and ignorance of the human ego, those who destroy themselves through their own acts and blame everybody else, even God, for that destruction, these are the ones who live in hell. But there are those who reach out for heaven within themselves. And gradually, as they change the love for the human things in the world, for the human beings in the world, to the love of God, as they change the consciousness from dwelling on the things which will tempt the senses, which will take them away from that great light and self which is their very being, the change takes place. It's an amazing thing when you think of your heart and your consciousness, because your heart is your seat of life. And many in the beginning, and some have written about it, say that the jewel is in the heart, in the center of the heart, that there is God's residence. Indeed, he is in the heart, because he is all love, and this is the seat of life. And God is life, and life is God. But he also sits on the throne of your consciousness, because your whole being is governed and dominated and engineered by this one great powerhouse. But yet you don't do it. It is God himself, this tremendous intelligence and power, which puts the thoughts, which in turn brings forth speech and action, and builds the outer universe as we know it, that does all things through us and for us. So in the beginning, our hearts are filled with human desires. They're filled with human love. love for others, and always the desire to be loved. And if the ones upon whom we place our attention and our love do not give us the same type of thing in return, it causes us great suffering, great sorrow, many times jealousy, many times total destruction. It's a terrible thing what this heart does in the human sense sometimes. It is the same thing with the mind. The mind will many times dwell in dark places. It will go into the deepest, darkest holes that can possibly be imagined. And many times it does it in secret. It's a strange thing, is how we wear this Janus face of God, the two faces of the one God. Because sometimes inside we are one thing, and outside we are another. Almost everybody in the human state is like this. And we do and think and say many things that we wouldn't want the whole world to say. And yet people are becoming bolder. And you can view movies, you can see things on television, and everything is out in the open. And sometimes it is rather terrible to behold the utter degradation, the state of degradation to which man has descended through the misuse of his own free will. How much more wonderful it would be to love God, to serve Him, to give Him yourself totally and completely, that which you call yourself, and know for the first time the marriage, the union with the infinite beloved, the only self, the only real one in this whole universe. What a tremendous change that would be. What tremendous feelings of bliss, of realization, of awareness. And what has happened to you? Have you given up anything? You have given up carrying a burden on your shoulders. You have given up everything which has caused you trouble, which has caused you to be sorrowful, to be angry, to expect anything in return. And you have settled for, instead, eternal life. Don't forget what the Christ said. He who shall save his life shall lose it. In other words, he who shall try to save this life of the human ego with all of its desires and give in to these desires shall lose it. And death is the end state of such a one. But he who will lose his life, this human ego, which is nothing but delusion, for my sake, shall be one with me, shall have life everlasting. We would be utter fools to keep on with the one and refuse the other if we really knew what we were doing. We live in such ignorance, such darkness, and sometimes such stupidity that it is absolutely amazing. And every single one of us has done this. But the amazing and the wonderful thing about it is that God is always waiting for us with open arms. His love, His grace, His power is always pouring forth to all of His children everywhere. God is a just God. He is a good God. And He loves His children with everything He has. And He wants only good for them. Do you not think that He weeps when He sees this separate cell of His own body do something which is going to cause it and Him a state of disease? Because don't think you do it only to yourself, but you do it to every living creature in the world when you make a mistake. Because you are all a part of that one infinite, divine, eternal presence, which is God within you and everywhere outside. But He can only be found within. Only be found within. And if you can start and put your feet on this road to perfection, if you can just let go of the things that don't really matter, giving them no power through your attention to them, but by transferring all of your power to the thought of God, by repeating His holy name, just like Kabir was constantly talking about Hari. Hari is another name for Krishna, which means the Christ. It is another name for the Lord. They have thousands of them in India. These people are a very, very spiritual people, and as I've told you before, they even name their children after one of the thousand names of Krishna, in order that every time they speak their name or call them, that they are speaking or calling the name of the Lord. What a beautiful thing. They dance to the chants which they sing. They become inebriated with the presence, with the bliss of God. All them heathens, heretics, infidels. While we sit in Orthodox churches, not even knowing the beginning of the meaning of the word truth. The truth is to be found within yourself, and only you can find it. But the guru's service to the disciple is invaluable. It is an absolute necessity. How true, you can try to go the path by yourself, thinking that the guru is purely on an ego trip. You can do it. But as I've told you before so many times, every time you feel your spiritual pulse when you're trying to be your own guru, you're either thinking of how you have failed and therefore you have retarded your spiritual progress, or how far you have come and you have equally retarded your spiritual progress, because in both cases you have built your human ego, which is the thing that has to be gotten rid of, the thing which must go. And it will use every trick in the book to stay. You have no idea how subtle, how insidious that human ego is. You have to work with a lot of people and see it really in operation to realize what it really is and what it does, and how it keeps people from being themselves, of becoming the great souls that each one has inherent within himself the power to become. You can change your life. You don't have to accept any of the things that are not right, any of the things which are causing you trouble. But first you have to change yourself. And don't think that anybody else can help you in that sense or do it for you. You can be inspired. You can be talked to, but you've got to do the work yourself. But if you will get in and go to work and forget everything in service to God, asking for your services, nothing in return but the pleasure of serving Him, then you will find the change will start to come. Because love is the great panacea of the world. It is the great salve. It is that which heals all the wounds of the world. And everybody that suffers, suffers for love of some kind, from some lack of love. So if you can give love, no matter what anybody gives you, if you can see and understand what makes them act as they do, and love them anyway, if no matter what they say, what they think, what they do to you, you can turn the other cheek. How wise was the Christ when he said that when your neighbor smites you, turn the other cheek, even 7 times 70. That's very difficult to do. Why? Because this little self is in such great residence. Its pride has been wounded. It becomes angry because somebody has become displeased with it, because it doesn't get its own way. It has not learned to surrender even the first little tiny bit of itself to God. And that surrender must be complete. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything which you call your own. Your children, your dear ones, your husbands, your wives, your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, your friends. Everything, all of your possessions, you cannot call your own. You are merely the custodian for those things. Just like with children. Many times we become so engrossed in our love for them, our attachment to them. And yet, did we really bring them into the world? We were merely the instruments, the vessels through which they came. They are all the children of God, every single one of them. And when you come to that point where you have nothing of your own in the human sense, and you have given all to God, you find that you have not lost anything. You haven't lost your children. You haven't lost your possession. You have merely lost your attachment to them and their possession of you. And you come to the point one day when you find that in all that you have done, that there wasn't love for all of these that you held so dear. There was love for yourself because you felt they were necessary. Their approval was necessary. Whatever came to you from them that made you feel good. This is self-love. This is not love for those whom you cherish. Because the individual who has true love has first found the love of God, and then he gives that love indiscriminately to every one of God's children who comes before him and sends it out to all the worlds, to the multitudes whom he has not yet seen, but yet who are his very own. You become the mother of the universe. You become the father of the universe and all are your children. So this is what Ram Dass experienced when he embraced the tree, when he embraced this individual. He had come to this state of consciousness, oneness with that radiant, glorious self, which was his real self. And when you are that way, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can affect you. You can cry tears and you can feel just the same as anyone else. But you cry not for yourself. You feel not for yourself, but for those who still walk in ignorance and darkness. You suffer for them, and they make you suffer for them many times. But the greatest suffering is done by them, and they do not realize that they are punishing themselves so greatly that it is unbelievable. They do not realize that with every thought, word, and action that they put forth from themselves, which is not done in accordance and in perfect harmony with the will of God, they are going to have to pay for at some time or other every jot and tittle of it, because it is a scientific fact and definite knowledge all over the universe that for every action there is an opposite and equal reaction. So if you want love, if you want consideration, if you want success, if you want kindness, if you want charity, then first give it. Seek ye first God and his kingdom. And then everything else that you need in the way of wisdom, of power, of knowledge, of anything that you need to keep your body alive will be given unto you. You will find that you will explore new worlds, that where before you used your consciousness and took it down into the deep dark recesses of hell or ignorance, that now you have lifted it up and it has become a shining light. At first that light burns dimly as you close your eyes and you go within the sanctuary of your own temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, said the Christ. What a tremendous, wonderful statement that is. That Christ himself lives in you. That in truth he is your real self, your Savior. That he will save you from the sin of separation from God. So this light comes dimly in the beginning. But gradually as you practice, you become more engrossed in it. You can't wait to meditate. And you feel a joy, a joyful longing to sit down in your place of meditation and commune again with your Lord. And many times, different things will be given to you. Visions will come, but put them all aside because you're looking for that one great light which is yourself. And these other visions which come, these things which you hear, these are too a part of duality. It isn't until you go beyond everything in the way of human feeling, of human consciousness, that you find the true meaning of the life which is in your heart and that one which is the jewel and the thousand-petaled lotus of your brain. Gradually, as this light comes, the petals of the lotus, the filaments of the brain expand, they open up. And as they open, this perfect jewel shines forth. And as it does, it spreads that light through every part of your being. You are surrounded by that light. I had a very interesting experience the other night. Someone was in my kitchen and the light was out. And I looked in there and saw this individual, and even in the dark, I saw an aura that far, all the way around the body. What a tremendous soul that one is, for someone to be able to see that even in a dark room. Really, it was tremendous in its experience. And this we can learn to see in people. And if we would practice learning to see the good in people, the God in people, to excuse their faults, knowing that they are just in the lower grades of school, they are little children yet. And until they learn better through experience and through teaching, and above all through example, that they cannot be fully blamed because they are creatures of circumstance. Now this does not excuse us from doing wrong, but it means that we have just developed to that particular state of consciousness, and instead of pointing the finger, of judging, of criticizing, of blaming, if we will seek God in them, if we will love them in spite of anything they do or anything they are, If we will take them in our arms and let them know that there is the love of God waiting for them, we will change their whole lives in that way and no other. Nobody is going to change through constantly being pounded having pounded into their consciousness, into every part of their being, you're a miserable evil. You follow Satan. What a terrible thing to do to mankind. We are all creatures of light. Some of us walk in darkness because we have not learned yet how to push the button that turns on the light. We have not yet learned how to open our doors and our windows and let the great love and the light of God pour in. But if you can bring yourself to this point of change, if you can give up these things without thinking about them, but thinking only of God, transfer all of the attention, all of the power that you have given to the things that you know are destroying you, that are making your life not what it should be, and put the full attention upon God, repeat His name, and no matter how many times your mind goes back, no matter how many times you fall, keep on doing that with utmost determination, and the day will come when that habit pattern will change, and there will be nothing in your consciousness, nothing in your life, but the thought, the love, the power of God. And you will become a radiant being. I think there is one tremendous saying in the scriptures, and Jesus said it. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Just picture that you come to the point where you have loved God, where you've given yourself so totally to Him, where your works of service are so great for Him alone, that men will see these good works. They will see that light which shines in you, and they in turn will glorify their Father, which is in the heaven of their own being. They will pick up their cross, and they will follow the Christ, and they will emulate Him even unto the death of this human ego, in order that they might become and have oneness with the eternal light and life of God. Each time I come before you, I try to think of something that I'm going to talk about. Many times I try to pick up a book, and none of it does any good. And I come each time almost totally unprepared. And just look what God does, because I have turned myself over to Him completely. I am not here. I have given everything that was myself and mine to Him, who is my infinite beloved. What joy, what peace, what bliss there is in this holy communion with Him, as not having a thought in my head. I become the empty vessel through which He may think, through which He may speak, through which He may act, so that He may draw all of His beloved children back to Him. It is so beautiful, so wonderful, that it is beyond human description. Now let us chant for a few moments. Victory to God, victory to God.
Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty. Of thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with him. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. O Heavenly Father. May thy love shine forever. Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. And bring them to thee. Thank you.